And he's going through an old family Bible. And he's flipping the pages and he's looking with fascination and something falls out. And he picks it up and he looks at it and it's an old leaf. And he's studying it for a while and his mom looks over and says, "What you got there?" And he turns and he says, "Mom, I found Adam's suit." Think about it. Among the many tasks that you moms have besides explaining misconceptions is, you know, straightening out bad habits as well. Like my mom saying to me, who always had something to say about something that was said to me, always having to have the last word. "Danny, every comment doesn't require a response." Emma Beatty, circa 1962. You moms are amazing. My mom is no longer with me in this life, but there are times when there are flashes of memory that are random in nature. They just pop up. And not that I conjured them up or had been thinking about anything related to it in particular, it just shows up. One of the things I remember is how my mom used to go to yard sales to supplement the clothing of our family because there were 8 kids and 1 paycheck coming in, my dad working. And we were never poverty-stricken, but we certainly were not wealthy. Never had a day when we didn't have a roof over our heads or food to eat. And that's a tribute to my hard-working father, out earning a living. Making the living that he was earning work for us was the domain of my mom. And she made it happen. And she always managed to slip some Cracker Jacks into the grocery bag when they did the weekly grocery shopping for a treat for the youngest of us. There were 5 of us, 5 of my siblings who were older, and then 6 years in between the final 3 of us. And so she would throw in a 3-pack of Cracker Jacks in the bag for us 3. And I remember we were mad at our parents for something or other, and we decided that we were going to run away from home. And so we wrapped a kerchief around a stick, and we were all getting ready to go. And as we were leaving, we wanted to do this while my parents weren't at home because they might stop us if they were there. So we waited until they left. Then we realized as we were walking down the street that they were coming back from the grocery store. So we said, maybe we'll go later. Because we realized that in that grocery bag where that was that 3-pack of Cracker Jacks. Cracker Jacks solved many issues. But she was a special person, and that's why I saw, as I drove up to Roy Rogers yesterday, and I saw the server wearing a little button that said, "I have the greatest mom in the world." And I said, "I didn't know we were siblings. I didn't know you were my sister." And I think all of us can say that this morning, can't we? And that's the blessing that we share this morning. And I'm glad that there's a Mother's Day. Moms, we want to celebrate you today. It's not the only day that you are worthy of being celebrated, but it's a special day. And I'm glad that we have this opportunity this morning to do so. A couple of other quotes that have been meaningful to me as I've thought about how a mom must feel come from several different corridors of endeavor, like Sophia Loren, the actress. She said, "When you're a mother, you're never really alone in your thoughts. A mother always has to think twice, once for herself and once for her child." Or Emily Dickinson, who said, "A mother is one to whom you hurry when you're troubled." Or as the Lord puts it, can a mother forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the child she has born? And the Lord uses that as an illustration of how deep is his care for us. He says, even these may forget, but I won't forget you. But he used the strongest possible illustration that earth has to offer to express how deep is his care. And he said, as deep as that is, mine is deeper still. There's nothing else on earth that you're going to find that is this deep. So I want you to know that that's the limit, but beyond that, there is me. Isn't that wonderful? So when we say you moms are special, we didn't say it first. It didn't spring from a holiday. It springs from God's own attempts to describe the depth of his love for us. So for all the training and the tasking that you moms do, today is a special day for you, and we want to honor you. We want this Sunday to be a balm for your spirit. We want you to receive it as a blessing of care. So, moms, I have a classic word of truth for you today, and it's especially suitable for moms. And it really applies to all of us, but I'm directing it to moms, and you'll see that the application for moms is really quite striking. And as I prepared for this morning's message, I was even applying it to myself. And if you're taking notes, today's message is titled, A Care Package for Moms. A Care Package for Moms. And our text is in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. And as I said, this is classic truth. One of the most popular passages in the scripture that I would guess most of you in here are familiar with, but I want to direct it specifically to you, moms, this morning. Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. You feeling me, moms? This is a balm for your souls this morning. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, supplication, pleading, some verses, some translations say, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Has there ever been a portion of Scripture that is more suited for a mother than this? I couldn't think of one. I started to talk about why Sarah tricked her husband into blessing Jacob instead of Esau. Right. Dig around and find some profound truth that would be tantalizing and stimulating and entertaining and in some ways applicable. But I don't think that would have reached as deeply into the soul of a mom, than the passage that we just read. Be anxious for nothing, says one translation. So if you're taking notes, the main idea this morning is this passage is the Lord's instruction for me. This passage is the Lord's instruction for me for heart-healthy family care. Heart-healthy family care. This passage is the Lord's instruction for me for heart-healthy family care. Let's dig around in it a little bit. Don't be anxious about anything. Or as it says, be anxious for nothing. I like what a friend of mine once said about that particular rendering, be anxious for nothing, that it gives us permission to be anxious about one thing, nothing. You have permission to be as anxious as you desire to be about nothing. So spend all day being anxious for nothing with the Lord's blessing. Breaking it down for us, for you moms, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about your kids' grades. Don't be anxious for anything. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be anxious for your kids' grades. Don't be anxious about the kind of friends your kids are hanging out with. Don't be anxious about the insidious influences that are coming upon your children, that surround them, that they are bombarded with. Don't be anxious about your kids not helping out around the house enough. Don't be anxious about them being lazy, as my mom used to say. Don't be anxious about their spiritual walk. Don't be anxious about their relationship with God. Don't be anxious if they say, I don't want to go to church. Don't be anxious if you don't see the kind of energy or excitement or the light. Of interest when it comes to spiritual things. Don't be anxious about how you're going to pay for college for your kids. Don't be anxious about getting them out of the house. Don't be anxious about anything. What are some other? Come on, moms. What are some other typical mommy worries? Relationships. Lord have mercy. Don't be anxious about that woman, that girl, that boy. Don't be anxious. Amen. Come on. Give me another one. Give me another one. Right? Don't be their exposure to television, movies, and music, and what's coming off of that TV and listening. How can you watch that? Don't be worried about how you're going to pay for all the food they consume. Now, you get the point, right? You get the point. We could go on and on. You can make your own list, add to this if you like. But whatever it is, it's a something. And if it is a something, the directive is don't be anxious about it. Oh, and by the way, don't be anxious about being anxious. Because to some of you, the reading of the list makes you anxious because you know how anxious you are about the list. Right? So don't be anxious about being anxious. Now, I want you to note that it doesn't say don't take action. It doesn't say don't take action. It says don't be anxious. Don't be anxious about it. Make the best decision you can and don't be anxious about it. Make the best decision you know and don't be anxious about it. But make that decision after the second portion of the verse. Don't be anxious, but the Lord is always, He always directs us to the positive and not just away from the negative. Some call it the put off, put on principle. So He doesn't want you to just sit around trying not to be anxious. He says, don't be anxious, but instead pour that energy into something constructive. And here is where you pour the energy as often as it wells up, because it's going to, here's what you do with it. In everything, by prayer and petition or supplication, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Don't be anxious. Here's what to do with that energy. Tell God all about it. Tell God all about it. Again, the word petition is also translated supplication. So there's prayer and there's petition. You say, what is the difference? Petition has more to do with the emotions. It has to do with deeply caring and deeply expressing from the soul. That's why one translation calls it pleading. It's releasing the emotions in prayer. So I don't understand how some people can say God doesn't care about how we feel. I don't understand that. God does care about how it feels. And that is why He's given us an outlet for feeling it. You see? So He's saying, feel it towards me. And this verse not only gives us permission to feel, it gives us a directive. Feel it to me, is what He's saying. Feel it to me. Feel it to me. And it's a good thing that God has given us permission. That's why I said this is tailored for a mom, because you know what? Nothing is more emotional for a mom than her child. You want to see a mother get emotional, right? Do something to that child. Preach the word of God. Preach it. Preach So this is this invitation to feel it is big score for moms. Because I am feeling it. I know. I know. It says, don't forget to give thanks while you're talking to him, while you're feeling it. It doesn't say you have to feel thankful. Right? Doesn't say you have to feel grateful. It just says give thanks. As an act of worship, it'll help you. Your giving of thanks, whether it feels thankful to you or not, is an act of worship. It helps you to remember who is in charge. Thanksgiving helps us to keep focused on who is in control of this thing. The madness in which I and my family are sometimes engulfed. So in everything, it also give thanks. I like to think of gratitude when we are grateful. Gratitude is a condition that we can't force. But it is a condition that can be cultivated by the giving of thanks. So we give thanks and it leads us to a place of gratitude. I've not been able to make myself grateful, but I have been able to give thanks. And I have seen how the Lord is taking the steps of giving thanks to move me to a place of gratitude. So give thanks. And then in the last part of it here, it says, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Not just any peace. The peace of God. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Not earthly peace. Not an earthly peace when it's connected to visual results. It's different. It's very different than earthly peace. Earthly peace says Johnny's grades improve, so now I have peace. God's peace, they may or may not. They may or may not. God's peace is independent of results. That's why it surpasses understanding. Because it doesn't make sense. And I also want you to note, you say, well, boy, you know, I have done that, Pastor. Amen. Thank you. But I still don't have peace. Amen? It's great to see what it says, and it's great to understand what it doesn't say. Because nowhere in the text does it say, and God's peace will instantly blanket your hearts. We think that, but God didn't say that. It didn't say, and as soon as you pray, God's peace is going to charge in like wild elephants or a lightning bolt and zap you into a state of calm. It promises it. But it doesn't say it will be instant. Some issues, like stubborn stains in clothing, require a few applications. Some issues are like a fog, and it just takes time for them to lift and for peace to shine through. But peace will come. God promises peace. And you know, when we think about this, you know, the whole idea of worrying, I don't think God considers worrying to be, you know, people will say sometimes to you, you worrying, that's a sin. honestly, I don't think that's how God sees it. I think God sees worry more as an affliction than a sin. An affliction that he wants to treat, that he wants you to bring to him for treatment. Because if it is not treated, it can turn into sin if it's not properly treated. I mean, if you think about it, we could argue that all acts of unlove and all acts of desperation are rooted in metastasized worry. Worry that has gone untreated and turned into something else. So this is why this is a care package for you moms from the Lord, to help you to avoid that and to be able to rest in him. This is one of the very first verses that I committed to memory. And for those of you who grew up in a Christian fellowship and where memorizing verses and things were a part of that culture, this was probably one that was suggested to you. It's very, very popular, and at the same time, it's one of the most overlooked one in the scriptures because it is so common and because it is so popular, but it is nonetheless God's truth to us. It's his way of caring for our cares that he knows are going to come, that are going to attack and invade. It's going to happen. How do I deal with it? Here's the Lord's care package. Don't be anxious, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. Tell him all about it. Give him the full effect of all of it. Feel it to him and trust him, and his peace sometimes will instantly blanket your heart. Sometimes before you even open your mouth, you feel better. Sometimes he acts while you're yet speaking, and other times he wants you to persist. In your mothering, moms, let me encourage you to celebrate progress. It can always be better. You can always be better. But you're never going to be perfect. And if all you're looking at is getting better, and all you're looking at is what you're not, and all you're looking at is how you didn't do it right, it's never going to be perfect. But if it's done in faith, it's always pleasing to him, regardless of the results. Just something I wrote in my journal that I want to sort of leave you with. And I actually blogged this earlier. I said, I don't have it all figured out, Lord. I have my questions, my unresolved matters, my disappointments and concerns, just like anybody else. And despite how well I think I know you, I certainly don't have you all figured out either. But I am learning to trust you more. I am learning to trust you more. And when I stop and think about it, that's pretty much all I really need to know. Because we read in Jeremiah 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So take some time, moms, today. to treat yourselves to God's peace as he provides it. In all your celebrations, you know, they say children didn't pick their parents. Well, you know, parents, you didn't pick your children. If they are under your care, that is God's divine appointment for them. And you are not going to be a perfect mom. But you can rest assured that you are the perfect mom for your kids. There isn't a more perfect mom for them out there than you. So I want you moms to know that you are loved more than the love you have for your children. Somebody cares for your welfare more than you care for your children's welfare. Somebody thinks about you more than you think about your children. And he's inviting you to rest in his care by surrendering to him your cares. And so we're going to care for you now in another kind of a way. We're going to ask you moms to come forward one by one, starting with this section. And I'm going to let the brothers bring in our tokens of appreciation. And as you will see in